Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time once again. And what a time it is. I don't know how many of you watched the milestone today. As soon as it began getting close, I went in and turned on the television and watched the stock market break 10,000. It is beyond understanding. It is beyond everything that I know about stocks. It makes absolutely no sense at all. It should never have happened. In fact, the market should have crashed all the way down to around some 2,500 points. And I mean, that's where it would stop at, 2,500 points, a long time ago. But it's not happening. Stocks are not being traded for what they are supposed to be traded for. In fact, this seems to have turned into a crap table, just like the ones that you find at Caesar's Palace or Bally's, or the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, or even the Luxor. You see, stocks are supposed to represent ownership in a company. And people who buy stocks are supposed to buy them to own a part of the company. If the company does good, the value of the company goes up, so does the value of the stocks, and they get a portion of the profits in the form of dividends. That doesn't happen anymore. People don't buy stocks to be a part owner in a company. They're buying stocks on the come, on the performance that they see in the market. And they're buying them like crazy for no reason at all. The statistics the government is giving us are phony. All you got to do is just make some bare basic investigations into some of these figures that they're giving us, and you'll quickly find that this supposed era of prosperity is not. If people are prosperous, it's because they have gone into debt further than the American people have ever gone into debt before in their history. Everybody is hocked way beyond their deathbed. It's incredible. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now, I know what the plan is. I've told you that. But you cannot predict the bringing to fruition of the plan by watching the stock market. There are no indicators there that anyone with any sense, any reason, any brains can use. If you're in the market, all I can tell you is eventually you're going to get hurt big time. It's all coming down. When that's going to happen is when they decide to pull the plug. Until then, it looks like they're just going to keep pumping money into that thing until it goes out of sight. The object being, as I told you years ago, is to suck all of the available capital into the market so that when it falls, there will be no survivors. The price of gold and silver has been so artificially deflated that people have lost faith in gold and silver as a hedge against economic collapse, economic emergency, or inflation. And so, not too many people have very much money in the only hedge against what we all know is coming. Y2K is their greatest opportunity to bring it about. Will they do it? I don't know. All I can tell you, it is the opportunity of a millennium. Pun intended. Absolutely. The greatest opportunity they've ever had to bring it down around our ears, enslave the population, and have their new world utopian order. And I bet it will be a reality by the year 2001. I sincerely believe that it will begin to be put into effect sometime toward the later part of this year. I would advise you strongly, strongly as I possibly can, to be prepared. In fact, I'm going to tell Americans something now that not too long ago I would not think of telling you. Get out of the country before they seal the borders, and they will. Get out of the country if you can. I don't know if you can hear the wind howling outside, but the wind began blowing last night. It blew all night long and all today. The sun shone most of the day, and just about 3 hours ago, I noticed that the sun wasn't shining anymore. Went outside and could see the black, ominous clouds drifting toward us over the mountains. And before I came into the studio, I looked outside again, and I could see the snow beginning to fall. I would imagine it's probably been snowing for several hours higher up. We're at 7,500 feet. If I drive for about 20 minutes, I can be at 9,500 feet. That quick. That's where we live. God's country. And it really is. Well, folks, I've got some letters to read. I've got some things to impart to you. And then we'll have open phones after I get through with all of that. So don't go away. Make sure you have your pen and paper there by your side, and I'll be back in just a couple.
Tell me when we will meet again. Sunday, Monday, or always. If you're satisfied, I'll be at your side. Sunday, Monday, or always. No need to tell me now what makes the world go round. When at the sight of you, my heart begins to pound and pound. And what am I to do? Can I be with you Sunday, Monday, or always?
Yes, Bing, you can. You certainly can, on 101.1 FM anyway. Here in Arizona, you can be with us always. We've got lots of bing songs. Dear Hour of the Time, thank you for your thank you. As of last Thursday, everything from my last order has arrived. The Right to Keep and Bear Arms tapes have been listened to. Behold, the Pale Horse is again occupying a place of honor on my bookshelf. A bookmark is moving its way steadily through it. I'm deciphering the materials from American Longevity, looking forward to placing an order with them, and the Panasonic RFB11 works better than expected. Now it's time to do it again. See that little radio we sell, folks? $58.95 plus $6 shipping apiece. Works so good, he's ordered three more. This time, I'd like to order three Panasonic RFB11 shortwave radios at $58.95 plus $6 shipping apiece. My math says the radios total about $195 and closes a money order for $225. Please apply it toward the order and the difference as you see fit. And, of course, it's going in the television project. From the thank you, I expect that it will be used for the TV project, but as usual, I'll trust to your judgment, which is more informed than my own. Not necessarily, my friend. And he says that the radio beats his comparably sized realistic DX380 digital radio, a Sangian product, in a number of ways. It's truly portable, not needing the extra antenna length or AC adapter that both improve the 380's performance. It's quiet. A signal is either there or it's not, but there's no atmospheric noise, no hiss. It's a total no-brainer to operate. Best of all, it works in tough environments like my office, where there's lots of electronic radio noise from computers to deal with. I really think that everyone I introduce to shortwave in the Hour of the Time will be pleased with this radio. He's going to give them away. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you. Thank you so much. I won't say your name on the air, but you know who you are, and so do we. Dear Bill, please use the enclosed $30 for your television project. If I had more, I would send it. However, I am busy preparing and organizing. You see, I am one of those who woke up late, and now I am scurrying to make up for lost time. The $30 comes from my new rifle fund. I am giving it to you because I feel you can do more good with making videos to educate people than I can with a new rifle. Keep up the work. You are a true American hero. God preserve and protect our republic. Sincerely, thank you very much. Thank you mucho, in fact. Every donation is deeply appreciated, no matter how much it happens to be. Bill, heard on your March 8th and 9th shows that the television fund is still open. Please find enclosed a donation of $30 in the denomination of 2 5s and 1 20. Sincerely, W. Thank you very much. Bill, please send me your latest copy of radio shows on audio tape only. Thanks again. You're doing a great job. P.S. Today I tried to get on a local talk show, Mark Scott out of Detroit. The subject was on secret societies. For the last 3 days, Mark talked about a book he read called The Biggest Secret by an author named Icks. Last name, first name might have been David. It's David Icks or David Ikes, depends upon what the real pronunciation is. I don't really know. He had a British accent in which he had interviewed the day before. During the last 3 days, ranting and raving up and down about this book, he asked people to call in about this subject. I wanted to call in desperately on the secret societies, things I have learned on your broadcasts and your book. It was everything the talk show host was talking about. When I tried to get through, his winged monkey guarding the phone lines asked me what I wanted to say. I told him about you and your book. As soon as he heard your name, it's like he wasn't interested in my call. I tried to explain your book, and it was out 9 years ago, and he brushed me off. I was furious and tried to call back, but he would pick up the phone. He wouldn't pick up the phone. I was trying to enlighten the audience with your years of hard work. Anyways, I have turned on a lot of people to you over the years. We value your book and broadcast greatly. I'll try again one day to try to wake up the sheeple of Michigan on WXYT 1270 AM. I prefer the word looks like G-O-U-M. Is he trying to say goyim or golem? I don't know what he means by that. Sometimes out of frustration. Thanks again, Bill. Jim from Michigan. You have permission to use this letter on the air. I don't need permission. If you send me a letter, you can assume that it might be read on the air. But never fear, I don't read your name. P.S. Have you heard of the book or author? The author also talked about these elitists being able to transform themselves into reptiles. He says they come from an ancient bloodline from some alien world thousands of years ago. I remember what you said about the alien threat. Bullshit. He got it right. He wrote my favorite word on here. Bullshit. And that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what Mark Scott is, and that's why he's promoting the David Icke's book, which claims that the people who pull the strings in the world are really alien beings from some other planet, are descended from alien beings from some other planet, and can turn themselves into reptiles, all lies. David Icke's, you're a liar. Mark Scott, you're promoting bullshit, and you know it, and that's why you don't want anybody to talk about what I say on this show on the air with you. Because you'll be exposed so quick, it's not even funny. Mark Scott is one of the Hegelian dialectic change agents of the other side, folks, in case you haven't figured that out for yourselves yet. It's the truth. Another Art Bell, if you will. Now, somebody called me on the telephone and told me that in their legal research, in the state of Michigan, they had run across an interesting paragraph, which I'm about to read to you on the air. It is it's on page 401 of the Michigan Compiled Laws under City Income Tax section, which is the official listing of definitions of the laws in the entire state of Michigan. So here's what it says. On page 401 of the Michigan Compiled Laws under City Income Tax, 141.646. It's 141.644. Now let me see. It says City Income Tax, 141.646. And then the number of the paragraph is 141.644. Federal Income Tax Return. Eliminations. Section 44. Listen to this, folks, very carefully. There's a wonderful admission here that whoever made the laws of the state of Michigan understand what I understand. Where total income, total deductions, net profits, or other figures are derived from the taxpayer's federal income tax return, any item of income not subject to the city income tax and unallowable deductions shall be eliminated in determining net income subject to the city tax. Now here's the pertinent line. Pay attention. The fact that a taxpayer is not required to file a federal income tax return does not relieve him from filing a city tax return. Ha ha! I love it. Right out of the law books of the state of Michigan. You all think I'm crazy. I might be the only sane person in this whole country. Not really. There's a few of us, but not too many. Dear Bill, I enjoy your program, even if it sometimes scares the pants off me. I have your book, Behold a Pale Horse, and have been going to the library and following up research. Many things have shaken me to the very core of my being. Many things I was taught to be true are the exact opposite. Please keep up the good work. One day the American people will know you are an American hero. I am sending a money order for $100 to help with the television project. God bless you and your family. D. Thank you. Thank you so much. We were really shocked today because we received two $100 donations, two $20 donations, one $30 donation, and one $1,000 donation. So we are now below the $1,000 mark. We just need a little less than $1,000, folks, to finish off the television fund. And then we can get to work producing television broadcasts, which all of you, or at least one or two of you in each city, is going to take down to your local cable access channel and make sure that it plays every week at a convenient time when people are watching television. So we're very close. Oh, we're so close. I can taste it. I can taste it. The dream is coming to fruition. And the person who sent the $1,000 donation, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my toes. Thank you. And everyone else who sent donations in any amount, thank you. But don't stop now. We still have a little less, a few hundred dollars to go, a little less than $1,000, and we'll be finished. Dear Bill, I was, I don't want to read that yet. That's one of those, I don't want to read, yes, I do want to read that. Yes, I do. That's the one I want to read, yes. Dear Bill, I was recently listening to my shortwave radio and discovered you are back on the air. I think it's great what you are doing and was disappointed when you went off the air on WWCR. I had just subscribed back then to Veritas at the rate of 18 issues for $35. The problem is I only received two issues, then nothing. I've purchased books from you in the past, Behold a Pale Horse, NASA Moon to America, never had a problem. I would like to receive your Veritas paper for the original subscription I paid for. Well, Ed, I looked in the database, and the reason you didn't get your subscription is because you moved and did not notify us. But I'll make sure that you get your papers. He says, P.S., I've heard you talk about Art Bell. I worked with him for 3 years at Dimension Cable TV, 1982 to 85, in Las Vegas, where he was our head-end technician. An interesting sort of fellow, I thought, kind of kept to himself, techno-geek. I've discussed his amazing rise to radio stardom with others who used to work with him, and we just cannot understand how he achieved this success. I thought he was full of it back then. I guess it shows you how gullible people are. Well, you got him pegged. I can tell you that for sure. But listen to this next letter, folks. This is amazing. Mr. Cooper, please send me your complete annual sale catalog of books and tapes. Enclosed is $1 cash with a 77-cent stamped envelope. In case you don't know, it might interest you that on the March 10th evening, 3:11 morning, that's the evening of March 10th, morning of March 11th, broadcast of Art Bell Coast to Coast, Art Bell mentioned you by name, having said, quote, Bill Cooper is manifesting the antics of a dying broadcaster, end quote. Further into the show, an emailer asked point blank, I'd like a straight answer, Mr. Bell. Are you a Mason, yes or no? Whereupon Mr. Bell replied, yes and no. Still further, a telephone caller asked the same question and had received Mr. Bell's response, quote, I'd really rather not care to answer that question if you don't mind, end quote. Well, I really don't want to fuel any contentions between you and Mr. Bell. However, I suspect you and I have a fair idea where Mr. Bell is coming from. In appreciation of your program, B. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You made my day. For Art Bell to say Bill Cooper is manifesting the antics of a dying broadcaster, it's an admission that he listens to my show. He's listening probably right now to the Hour of the Time. Also, it's a compliment on par with Bill Clinton telling the world that I'm the most dangerous radio host in America. So I will treasure this letter. I will keep it forever. And I think it's very funny that I have so shaken Art Bell that he would make such a comment. Bill Cooper is manifesting the antics of a dying broadcaster. Sorry, Art, when you're dead and gone, I'll still be here broadcasting our fighting for liberty and freedom while you bury yourself in your own bullshit. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back with more.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Is that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Is that a shame? You're the one to blame. You broke my heart when you said we'll part. Is that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Is that a shame? You're the one to blame. Oh, well, goodbye. Although I'll cry. Is that a shame? My tears feel like rain. When you said goodbye, ain't that a shame? I still feel that rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. Oh, well, goodbye. Although I'll cry, ain't that a shame?
PM, March 16th, Mountain Standard Time. Still no sign of that alien spacecraft that was supposed to land here in my front yard on December the 7th. It must have taken a wrong turn. Maybe there was some star maintenance going on up there in the wormhole. And he had to take a detour. Maybe he'll be here, sometime later this month. You'll have to ask Art Bell about that, or Richard Hoaxland, once he recovers from his heart attack, and we hope he does. We understand he had bypass surgery. We want him to get well and start telling the truth. How many of you heard about the IRS? They were audited, finally, after all these years, they were audited by the General Accounting Office, the GAO. And guess what? They failed the audit. They failed the audit. No surprise here. Listen to this. It sounds like a taxpayer's dream. The IRS was audited and struggled to explain its own financial records. The IRS cannot do some of the basic accounting and record-keeping tasks that it expects American taxpayers to do, said Gregory Kutz, who oversaw the audit released Monday by the Congressional General Accounting Office. GAO said chronic Internal Revenue Service problems resulted last year in millions of dollars in fraudulent refunds. I wonder whose friends got those refunds. Millions of dollars in fraudulent refunds, failure to keep track of such basic assets as cars and computers, and substandard computer security controls. Think of this as not balancing your checkbook with the monthly bank statement, and at the same time having a system prone to error, Kutz told the House Government Reform Committee's panel on government management at a Monday hearing. GAO said the IRS is unable to keep track of unpaid taxes properly, which means it cannot concentrate collection efforts on the taxpayers most likely to pay. See, I always told you that even if it was legal, it's not fair. Listen to this. Listen to this. GAO said the IRS is unable to keep track of unpaid taxes properly, which means it cannot concentrate collection efforts on the taxpayers most likely to pay. The upshot is that only about $26 billion of the $222 billion in unpaid taxes as of October 1998 are likely to be collected, with $119 billion, a whopping 54%, to be written off. It's a national scandal, said Representative Steve Horn, Republican of California, chairman of the Government Management Subcommittee. Government Management Subcommittee doesn't even know the law, doesn't even know that most of all of these people that they are hounding and requiring to file and pay income taxes are not required to file and pay at all. Government management? Oh, that's a sick joke. Really sick. There's no government management. People who make the laws don't even know what the laws are. It seems to me you shouldn't let people off the hook like that. IRS officials were quick to take responsibility for the problems, which they said were largely rooted in the agency's computer systems that date as far back as the Kennedy administration. They were clearly embarrassed by the report, coming as it does, as the IRS makes a high-profile attempt to become more efficient and more customer-friendly. Don't you bet on that. Don't you even bet on that. Customer-friendly. They will hound you until you commit suicide. They will destroy your marriage. They will make you lose your children. They will destroy your business. They will completely hound you and destroy you for as little as a $10 mistake that they make. I've seen it happen. I know a family whose business, their family, was completely destroyed and torn apart, and the husband ended up committing suicide because the IRS hounded them and attached and seized everything they owned for $40 that they claimed the family owed, that the family claimed they did not owe. They're crooks. They're liars. They're thieves. Outlaws. And all of these people that they destroy were not most of them. Because some people are required to file and pay the income tax, federal income tax and state income tax. It depends upon whether or not they are in the definition under the law, which is Americans living abroad, non-resident aliens, government employees, residents of the Federal District of Columbia, dockyards, forts, insular possessions, territories, etc. But nobody else. The National Guard FEMA plan for major Y2K breakdowns. This comes from WorldNet Daily by David M. Breshnahan. WorldNet Daily. National Guard FEMA plan for major Y2K breakdowns. I don't know how many of you read WorldNet Daily. I go there every day to see what's on there. Some of it's really good reporting. Some of it is not so good. And you have to wade through it, but it's one of the better places on the internet to get news that has a good chance of being true. This is the National Guard and FEMA plan for major Y2K breakdowns. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, the National Guard, and other federal agencies engaged in Y2K planning are now expecting loss of electrical power and other related problems before the year 2000. Now, let me ask you something, folks. If this is a date malfunction, and the date doesn't change until midnight on December the 31st, where it rolls over to January the 1st in the year 2000, why are we going to have major problems before that happens? Why are they telling us this? That we're going to have major problems. They're not the only ones. People are telling us that there's going to be failures this year before the date even rolls over. Why? See, I think this whole thing is a major scam. Major scam. I've talked to a lot of people in the computer industry, a lot of programmers, and they tell me this is just not the emergency that people are saying that it is. That all of these things are not going to happen. There might be a few shutdowns somewhere, but they'll be fixed real quick. And most of everything is already fixed, according to them. This is what they tell me. The real people who really do this kind of work. But that's not what the government tells us. It's not what the Hegelian change agent, dialectic workers that would do Hegel proud on all of these so-called patriot radio talk shows. Mark Scott is one of them. Art Bell is another one. And many, many more. I can go on and on and on, but you know who they are. Nuclear power plants will begin to shut down in July, according to government sources. Why? As far as I'm concerned, the public has a right to know on this. It isn't classified, so I'm not violating any rules that I see. I might be hampering somebody's planning, but this needs to get out. An officer from the National Guard Bureau in Washington told WorldNet Daily in an exclusive interview. The officer and several others who continue to provide information believe they will be reassigned or disciplined if their identity were made known. Then I'd be out of the loop, said one. I beg to differ with you. These are intentional leaks. Intentional leaks. Officers don't go around whispering state secrets or doing what they've been ordered not to do. They don't do that. So if they're whispering these things in David Bresnahan's ear, it's because they have been ordered to do it. The National Guard is planning COMEX, MOBEX, an exercise to practice a full mobilization of all 480,000 members of the National Guard. It will take place May 1st. May 1st. Do you know the significance of that day, ladies and gentlemen? The birth date of the Illuminati, the Bavarian branch anyway. The birth date of international communism, socialism. The great May Day parade that was held in the Red Square at the Kremlin every year when the Soviet Union was at the height of its power. Isn't it amazing that an American government organizations are scheduling mobilization of all 480,000 members of the National Guard on May 1st. Without the use of phones, television, or radio, the exercise is planned to prepare for a possible mobilization in the event computer failures from the Y2K bug cause major disruptions of power, telecommunications, transportation, and banking. The officer believes the government should be warning people now rather than later. He says there is still time to prepare if the correct warnings are given. If people wait until the last minute, the disaster and panic will be greater. Listen to that. Building hysteria. The government is planning on keeping their yap shut, explained one of the officers. They will keep saying everything is fine. They don't want the panic to begin before they are ready. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I just said? What an admission. They don't want the panic to begin before they are ready. Remember the symbolism of the secret societies? The fact that this is taking place on May 1st is significant. If I was running the show, I'd tell everyone in July. I'd rather have everything go to hell in a handbasket while it's warm and people aren't running around looking for shelter than in the middle of winter. Now see, if what this man is saying is going to happen actually happens, it's the end of the world as we know it. And I don't mean that the world is going to end or that, doing without buses and trains is going to be any big hardship, or if the power goes off for a few days, that it's going to be terrible. What I mean is, if this happens the way this officer is whispering it in David M. Bresnahan's ear at the WorldNet Daily, there will be martial law declared across America, and you know the rest. It'll be all over. It'll be the last breath of free air that you will ever breathe if you survive it. Now, that's a warning you can take to the bank. If everybody keeps their cool and none of this stuff happens. But remember what I told you years ago? Remember what I printed in my book? Go back and read Behold a Pale Horse. I said that someday in the future, you'll turn on your radio and you will hear nothing. You'll turn on your TV and there will be no picture. You'll turn on a light, there will be no light. Troops will be on the street corners. Patriots will disappear all across America. And the New World Order will become reality overnight. Watch for important people to start to disappear. From Washington, D.C., from the State House, governors, prominent politicians, and New World Order figures. They will go, of course, into their underground cities to await the end of the chaos on the surface when they can come out and restore order. Remember, Ordo Ab Chao? I wrote that in my book years ago, folks. Years ago. I've told you on this broadcast many years ago that that's the way that it would happen. And you'll think that it's all local. Nobody will know that it's happening all over the country. But that's exactly what will be happening. And it won't be because of any Y2K bug. It'll be because somebody's pulling switches intentionally, purposely, to bring about their socialist one-world government. And remember, I told you they had to do it at the millennium, because everybody in the world who believes in prophecy believes that this is all being brought about by the hand of God, that it's fated, that nothing that they do can stop it. And they will believe that until the millennium comes and goes and they find out that there really isn't any hand of God stirring up this pot. It's being stirred up by the hand of man. You believe what you want, that's religion. But you better listen to me, because I'm giving you fact. And read the book of Revelations again. It says, when you're all expecting a Savior to come, He will not be here. He will not be here. The fact that the whole world is expecting some kind of a Messiah to arrive at any moment, I'm here to tell you, He will not be here. If one shows up, He will be the one you don't want. Comprende, amigos? So, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
On Saturday night, when I go for my date, my baby and I just sit and wait for
Marga, the magnificent.
We don't go out to roll and rock. We get a kick from the house and stop. Got shaggy hair and a graveyard stare. Vampire blood spill everywhere. That's
Marga, magnificent.
We don't go out the road and rock. We get our kids from the house and shop. If you want a thrill, turn the lights down low. Except for the cool.
Marga, Marga, the magnificent.
We don't go out to roll and rock. We get our kicks from the house and shop.
Marga, the magnificent.
We don't go out to roll and rock. We get our kicks from the house and shop.
How's that for right on cue? I did not cue that up, ladies and gentlemen. That was the hand of God in my CD player. It chooses at random. And right after I talked about so many people expecting Messiah, we got Argus the Magnificent. Great record, by the way. Okay, the phones are open, 520-333-4578. By the way, last night's broadcast was a rerun. It originally aired in November. And what you heard last night is what happened on that night in November. And so you heard it last night, and everybody was frantically trying to call. And it jammed the switchboard for miles, trying to keep me from going off the air. But it was a rerun, and we didn't go off the air. And I tried to tell you it was a rerun several times last night, but apparently you couldn't hear because of propagation or maybe not listening or something. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Bill. How are you doing?
Fine.
I'm sitting here. I just had a real quick question for you. I've had this book for quite some time, but my copy's kind of, it's not exactly in that great a shape. It's Albert Pike's book. Got the double-headed eagle and all that stuff with the Ordo Ab Kahn under there, but there's something else written underneath that, and I can't quite make out what it is.
Which book are you talking about? He wrote hundreds of books.
I got you. Hold on a second here. Morals and Dogma.
Okay.
It's Deus M-E-U-M-Q-U-E and then Juice J-U-S.
I'm going to give you an assignment to look that up and call us tomorrow night. It's Latin. Okay.
I know it's Latin. I was hoping that maybe you had.
You can find.
I knew that the upper part of that was pretty important, but I had never heard you mention the second part, and I hadn't had a chance to look it up yet.
You can probably get a head start just by going to a legal dictionary. You'll find derivatives from those Latin roots in just about every legal dictionary that there is.
Well, I didn't think about that. I do have a Black's Law dictionary from, I guess, about 75 or so. I'll go jump on that and. Hey, it's great to hear you on the air.
Thank you.
I missed you when you were off there for a while, but it just took me a while to find you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
See ya.
520-333-4578. It's not Deus, it's Deus. Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, good evening, Bill. This is about the Charlton Heston speech again.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever listened to Rush Limbaugh, but he ran it yesterday. He did exactly what you did on Thursday evening.
Really?
And he read the speech. And basically, it sounds to me like he was listening to your show because
he
get the inclination to run out and, you know, just start, you know, talking about this.
He may have been. You would be amazed at who listens to this broadcast. I happen to
know. He does because, you know, I got a kick out of it because, you know, I had already heard it, and he was making it sound like he's the only one on the planet who knew about this.
Oh, he knows better than that.
And,
remember, I'm the most dangerous radio host in America. As much as he would like to be, he's not.
Yes, indeed. and on another issue, written up daily. You know, they're a little suspect in many ways because...
Yes, they are. They get too much leaks. They are a a conduit of leaks. And remember what I told you about leaks? There are no leaks.
Correct.
They're intentional. And they're designed to make people behave in a certain manner. They have intelligence goals behind them.
Yes, they massage an awful lot of feelings out there in the nation. We have a local radio show that, it's supposed to be like local politics, but basically all it is a paraphrase of what's on World Net Daily every day. And it's a two-hour show.
That's interesting.
And, they know better what they're about. You can go to their top radio section, and there's one name that's missing that I'm sure you're aware of whose name I'm talking about. Yours.
Oh, of course.
They have American Freedom Network, and they have all the, KSFO or whatever out in San Francisco.
Sure.
They have all those people, but they don't have you on there. And I've emailed them several times to try to get them to put you on there.
Nobody wants anybody to hear the truth about anything. This is the age of deception.
Yes, it is. And what makes them very suspect is the way they really trumpet the Y2K panic situation. Generally, almost every morning I go to it first thing, and what I see is about, one-fourth of the site devoted to Y2K panic articles.
Sure.
And, so I really do believe they're trying to massage it. They're not shouting it down. They're trumpeting it up.
Yeah.
And so they are trying to get the feeling out there that...
Trying to create hysteria and mass panic so that the what those officers, or supposed officers, are predicting will come to pass. They want it to happen. This is being drummed up and created.
I've thought that for a long time myself.
Yeah, it's a fact.
And, I knew it was a fraud when someone was actually running around saying that 555 timer chips were going to fail because of the Y2K and your drill is not going to work anymore because of embedded chips.
Yeah, that's they're just all lies. They're the biggest liars I've ever seen in my life, and they're just running around, and everybody believes everything they say. A 555 chip is nothing but a beat chip.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with time.
I've worked with them plenty of times in the past, and I know what they're about, there's no way they're going to fail. Your electric drill might fail when they turn off your electricity to make you think that it's a computer problem.
Oh, but I have a portable one that runs on batteries.
Hey, those new battery ones are real nice.
And mine's not going to fit.
Yeah, very good. Okay, well, keep up the good work.
Oh, wait a minute.
Sure.
Why are nuclear power plants going to shut down in July?
I think what they're going to do is they're going to call it a test, and they're not going to start back up.
No, according to this, it's not going to be a test. They're going to start failing in July because of this Y2K thing.
Several months ago that, for a safety's sake, we have to test these completely, and we have to shut them down and make sure that these things don't work or that they don't fail during Y2K. I mean, after all, we don't want any meltdowns, do we? Okay.
So they're going to create an intentional meltdown.
I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, Three Mile Island was pretty suspect, wouldn't you say? I mean, even in your book, from what you state, I've never followed up on the timeline on that. But from what you state in your book, if that's even close to the timeline, which I'm sure it probably is, it's no wonder FEMA is in such power as it is today.
Yeah.
So. Okay, well, I'll let you go and not take up all your time. Oh, and by the way, I really like your Raw Intelligence Night, where you do follow up on these spurious articles and read your mail. I find them interesting programs. I've always liked them.
Well, thank you.
Okay, keep up the good work.
I will.
Bye.
Until they kill me dead and come to take me away. 520-333-4578 is the number. And that's what we're doing tonight, is radio calls. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, I was listening to you talk on the radio, and you said that, in words, it sounded like you said that there would be no savior to come, and if one did come...
That's not what I said.
Huh?
That's not what I said.
Would you repeat yourself and explain that to me, please?
I said, read the book of Revelations. It clearly says, when you're all expecting the Savior to arrive, he's not going to be here. He will come as a thief in the night. The whole world right now is expecting a Savior right now. And
yeah.
Because of that, I'm telling you, he's not coming now.
Well, I understand that we're supposed to go through trials and tribulations first, which I know I figure is the way you came.
I'm telling you, if the whole world is expecting a Savior right now, according to the book of Revelations, if you believe the Bible, he's not going to be here.
Okay, but do you believe that he will come after we're taken over by the New World Order?
I believe he'll come when he's ready to come, and not before.
Okay.
And no man is going to know the day, the time, or the hour. And
right.
when the whole world is expecting him, he won't be here.
Right, but you do believe that he will come when he's ready to.
What difference does it make what I believe? I believe in freedom, that everybody should be able to practice whatever religion they wish to practice.
Okay, but do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God?
What difference does, let me ask you again, what difference does it make what I believe?
Well, it makes a lot of difference because, according to what you believe, it has a lot to do with, what you're telling people.
As long as I'm telling the truth to people, my religion makes no difference at all. Well, if you'd listened to this program for a long time, you'd already know the answer to that, but I'm not going to answer that for you because...
Not necessarily. Anybody can preach Jesus.
It's not...
What Jesus are you preaching?
Well, this is not a religious broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk about the Lord quite a lot.
No, I talk about what people believe about what's happening, and I put it in perspective. Good night, lady. If you want to preach, go find a church, get up on the pulpit, and preach. You're not going to do it on my broadcast. I believe in freedom for all people to worship at whatever altar they want to worship at, as long as they don't injure the person or property of any other human. Period. That's what I believe. I don't preach to people. When we talk about religion on this broadcast, it's because of the religious beliefs that are shaping the times in which we live, and I put it in perspective with the actual facts that can be proven. And one of the facts that is easiest to prove is that people who claim to believe what they read in their Bible don't believe it at all. They're all running around saying, it's the end of the world. Jesus is coming tomorrow. He'll be here in the year 2000. Well, if you all believe that, you're all running around saying that, the book of Revelations in the Bible that you claim to believe says that's the lie. It's the lie. It's not going to happen. Now, if you don't like that, take it up with God in your Bible, not with me. It's a fact. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, on the shutdown in July. I know the reason why.
Okay.
It takes 6 months to cool down the reactors. And if they don't have electricity in 2000, they can't do it then. They have to do it 6 months early. I just wanted to be quick and give you that before you...
So you're telling us that they're doing it on purpose.
Well, no, because they're not Y2K compliant. So they have to... And they were told if they weren't Y2K compliant, they'd have to shut down 6 months early.
So you're telling us they're doing it on purpose.
Well, it's a 6 month week. It takes 6 months to shut them down.
Wait a minute. What about my question do you not understand? Are you telling us that they're shutting them down on purpose or not?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
It takes 6 months.
See, what I'm talking about here, if you were listening when I read this article, these people that David Bresnahan of WorldNet Daily News, these officers, he claims they're high-ranking officers, say that these shutdowns are going to be caused by Y2K in July, and that they're not intentional shutdowns, but will happen because of Y2K.
Well, it will.
So my question was, why would Y2K shut down the nuclear reactors in July?
Because it takes 6 months to cool the reactor.
No,
they don't do it 6 months early.
You still didn't understand what I was talking about. But I thank you for that. I suspected that what you have just told us was going to be the reason. But that's not what these officers are telling us through WorldNet Daily. They're saying that the shutdown is not going to be on purpose or intentional to cool the reactors down or anything else. They're saying that sometime in July, Y2K in their computers is going to cause their computers to fail and nuclear reactors are going to shut down.
Oh, no, I don't agree with that.
Yeah. So my question was, why would it happen in July if it was going to happen that way?
No, not unless they're on the, they turn over on July 1st to 2000, some cities and towns do that.
You're talking about a fiscal year?
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
If they did that, yes, then I could see how that could possibly cause some problems if they're not Y2K compliant. But I would venture to bet that the first ones to get Y2K compliant are the ones that could blow us all up, which means nuclear power plants.
Yeah. Well, okay. I just throw in what I know.
And well, I appreciate it. You have some good information. Thank you.
Thank you.
520-333-4578 is the number. Oh, and by the way, you're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening. You're on the air.
Paul from Ohio.
Hi, Paul.
Recently they had the movie Schindler's List, I guess, in one of the major broad.
On Schindler's List?
Yeah, some people are talking about that and how horrible it was and how we're lucky in this country not to have to leave our possessions, blah, blah, blah.
Well, just wait wait a year and say that.
I butted in and I said, why didn't the people should have fought back? They
should have. That's one of my biggest nitpicks with Jewish people is that they will not defend themselves. Their ignorance of guns led a lot of them to the slaughter, in my estimation. I have seen a lot of those pictures of Jews being escorted to the railroad track in their town by soldiers who didn't even have bolts in their rifles.
My argument with Spielberg was he should have...
My argument with Spielberg is
his efforts on the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. Yeah.
Well, he should have. My argument with Spielberg is he's a propagandist.
Yeah.
He lied in that movie a lot.
Yeah.
If you studied the prison camp where these people were, commandant's quarters were, he could not walk out on his balcony and shoot anybody. He couldn't even see the inmates of the camp from where he lived.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question about what kind of scope you have on that rifle you're always talking about? Or that personal question there?
It's a world class.
Tasco,
world class, yeah.
Where's Tasco's made at,
I have no idea. I bought it for the guarantee. This thing kicks so hard that you need a scope that has a money-back guarantee, no questions asked, and that's what the world class has.
You've been pretty satisfied with it, though, huh?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
All right. Okay, I was in the market for one, just shopping around, and knew you had a heavy caliber there. And all right, let's let somebody else get on.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. Schindler is a hero, no doubt about that. But the way that Spielberg presented, or I should say butchered the facts in that movie is criminal, in my estimation. The German people should have really got upset about that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. This is Marshall in Houston.
Hi, Marshall.
I was having dinner last week with some friends of mine that work up at NASA, and I brought up a couple of questions about, the idea of the spacesuit in outer space, how come it doesn't explode from there being a vacuum in space, and they got kind of bent out of shape about that.
They got bent out of shape, huh?
Yeah, and I said, well, I brought up a V-22 few points about us still being in the atmosphere, and then I asked him about the intense radiation outside of the Earth's atmosphere, and they didn't have any good answers for that either.
No, they can't answer those questions because.
No, and I said, well, I even remember when you brought it up about how in our physics books, back in high school and stuff,
mm-hmm.
metric physics and all that.
Yeah.
It kind of brought that into fruition in my own mind to understand that all this stuff was just a bunch of malarkey that they've conjured up, for the American public, actually for the world.
Yeah, the whole Apollo space program was the biggest hoax, scam, lie that's ever been presented anywhere.
It's like that beer commercial on TV where they have the frogs.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of the American public are. They sit in front of the light. And they just gobble up everything that flies around in the light.
Yeah, you got it. I think it's incredible. I really do.
Yeah, I the other thing, too, is I've been reading the Bible again, and I was raised a Catholic, and that's one of the things that they never wanted us to do as Catholics, was read the Bible.
Oh, no. In fact, for hundreds of years, if you got caught with a Bible, much less reading it, the penalty was death.
Oh, yeah. And when I started reading the Bible, and I was an altar boy, and when my little crew that I was with, we used to call ourselves the Altered Boys. we started reading the Bible with some non-Catholics, and we would ask the priest different questions, that would arise in our studies of the Scriptures. But
he didn't like that, did he?
No, Oof. And then when I went to the Jesuits, boy, did I get a real view of the world from those cats. The Jesuits, as we all know, or as you know, and I had figured out, even back then, were kind of like the CIA of the Catholic Church. And,
yeah.
And a lot of the things that really bothered me, and one of the things I had come to a conclusion, well, I guess I was about 16 or 17, that you couldn't, a man cannot walk the earth with opposing viewpoints in his mind because it splits your psyche in half and it makes you schizophrenic and neurotic.
Makes you crazy, yeah.
It makes you crazy, and that's the whole purpose of all of these diatribes and whatever that they feed the public, is that here in one class we're studying theology, and then in the next class we're studying theological communism. They're telling us, well, if Jesus was around today, he'd be a communist too.
Oh, didn't I tell you, folks? I told you that on this broadcast several times over the last few years, that there would come a day when they would claim that Jesus was a communist.
Oh, yeah, and they've even written books about it.
Oh, this is too much.
these guys have written books about it, and I would question, one of the fundamentals of the Old Testament was about property rights.
Yeah.
One of the fundamental things was property rights, and money. Who controls the money?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. And then I said, well, if Jesus was an extension of this, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, why all of a sudden would he become a communist, which is denial of property rights and a denial of a lot of other things?
Sure. And he said himself, I did not come to destroy the law, but
right.
to...
And then we have the theologians that are, come out of the seminaries today, and they've been brainwashed also, and they're going around teaching the crap like the rapture, the misinterpretation of Christ's returning.
Uh-huh.
And
well, let me ask you something.
Sure.
Did Jesus ever say he would return?
In my mind, he returns in the mind of the person who dwells in the truth.
But he did say.
Yeah.
He did say that he would return, and they would sup together in the house of the man with the water pitcher. Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
Did he return?
Yes.
And did they have dinner in the house of the man with the water pitcher?
Yes.
It happened, didn't it?
Yes.
Nobody wants to listen to that.
And
They say they believe the Bible, and the Bible is the inspired word of God, yet they don't believe it. They don't believe it. They're a bunch of hypocrites and liars.
And then the Revelation hoax. They were taking God, you know, when Jesus spoke about the destruction of Jerusalem, these guys are translating something that was predicted during that generation, and they're transliterating it to today's future.
Yes. What did he say? What's his words?
He said that,
before,
you know,
this,
80 or 90 years, the Jerusalem would fall.
No. Or, he said, before this generation shall pass.
Yeah.
That means before all of the people living in this generation die, these things will happen.
Right.
And they did.
And so now they're taking all this stuff to forward history. Now, I've got a little question for you. I had heard, and I've been trying to resource this, but they said that there was, what I heard was that there was a fella in the Soviet Union who was one of the upper level apparatchiks back in the early 20s.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that he had fomented was the creation of the State of Israel over in the Middle East. And this was part of a massive plot and deception to deceive the people in the West and conjuring up this Revelation stuff.
Yes, I've said that on many occasions. Said it myself. Yes, I said it's in my book too.
Oh no, I hadn't read that, so that's why I was asking you if
they
you
are
heard about it.
They are creating in the minds of the people who believe in prophecy that they cannot stop the coming New World Order.
Right. And this guy had. Now, you got to give them a lot of credit, you know, for thinking this stuff up.
I give them all a lot of credit. They're playing the sheeple like a great violin player plays a Stradivarius.
Well, you know, I was thinking years ago that I was, you know, understanding all of this, and I just saw the pathetic state of the majority of people around me. Everybody was getting doped up, drunked up, you know, falling over themselves.
They're stupid.
And I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm starting to understand, you know, what's going on a little bit. And I said, I should just start sharing all of these suckers. You know?
Well, then you become like the evil dudes. or you begin to do the evil deeds.
Yeah, and I did see that as evil, and I did know enough that I could participate.
Sure.
Maybe even rise up in the ranks. You know, I could have.
That's how Art Bell got his big listening audience.
Yeah.
He's shearing the sheeple. He's having a great time, just laughing his butt off.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, guess where Bill Clinton came out of? Didn't he come out of one of the Jesuit schools over there in the East?
Yeah, Georgetown University.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it. Yeah, he came out of that, you know, and I was going through the Jesuits, and they had a program there that if you became an enlightened one, they would, you know, work up a scholarship deal to send you off to Georgetown.
Sure. You know why? Because
yeah.
The Jesuit order is a branch of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Ignatius Loyola was the head of the Alumbrados in Spain.
I didn't understand that until, you know, I heard part of your mysteries thing on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And, even I remember being recruited at one time for the CIA, and I told my dad and my uncle, and they both totally flipped out, you know. And
the CIA tried to recruit my brother after he came back from Vietnam. He won the Silver Star. He was a hero. And the CIA tried to recruit my brother, and my dad just beat this recruiter to a pulp.
Yeah, my
with
dad
his, with his fists.
And
I mean,
uncle
he just
was both sitting there, and I surprised him. Hey, I'm going to be. They want me to come, you know, blah blah blah, and all this stuff, and they totally flipped out about that.
Yeah.
And they started telling me all kinds of stuff.
Good for them.
And then I ran it. You know, my grandfather had told me stuff about the Catholic Church and the Jesuits when I was younger.
Well, let's not get this confused, because Catholics are no different than Mormons or Baptists or anybody else.
Yeah,
they are people who have been taught to believe something, and they go to church usually because their parents took them to that church while they were growing up.
Yeah.
Or that one of their friends took them somewhere in their life, and they liked it, and they believe what they're told, and so they go. But well, that's as far as it goes. So you can't put the crimes of the higher ups on the people who attend the church. It just isn't reasonable.
Right. And what happens to a lot of people? They go through life and for the most part, nobody pays attention to them because they're just kind of moronic. And first time somebody shows, you know, a little bit of attention to them or says, "Oh, that paper that you wrote in school, blah blah blah. You know, that was really good." And their teachers, they start looking up to their teachers and stuff, and they will follow, they will tend to follow, you know, one of these ideas, good or bad, because yeah. Somebody showed them a little bit of attention.
Yes, that's right.
I see that all the time. And this becomes their little safety net, their little eggshell that they start, you know, building up. It's almost kind of like, have you ever seen a crawfish hole?
It gives them security and comfort.
Right. It's like a crawfish hole. The crawfish comes up and he pedals mud and makes a little tower. And these people, they make the same little mud towers around themselves. It's kind of funny. And sometimes they'll come up to the top, and if they're not paying attention, a bird will pick them out.
Well, that happens a lot.
Yeah, that happens all the time. That's kind of analogous to the way a lot of people are.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm just absolutely amazed. And I'm really appreciate what you've been doing.
Well, thank you.
Are you still selling the mystery tapes?
Yes. In fact, we have a sale right now. Let me see. They're normally, are you a member or not?
No, I'm not a member. Well, I've been getting Veritas.
No, it's not a member. Non-member price normally is $290. They're on sale now for $174.
And you do that through Harvest Trust?
Yeah, but we only take blank money orders, cash, gold, or silver coin.
That's cool. Yeah, I've heard you tell the public out there that listen not to, you know,
Listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research, including what your preacher tells you, what your priest tells you, what your minister tells you, what your bishop tells you, what your mother tells you, what your father tells you, and especially what your teachers tell you.
Yeah.
And don't even listen to your friends if you're smart.
You know, when I left the Jesuits, I finished up the last year in public school. And it was really sad to see what was going on in the public schools. And a lot of the teachers in the public schools here in the HISD system, in Houston, for instance, I mean, I think it was representative of a lot of public school deals around the country. A lot of these people were just wards of the state. They were put in there as, you know, under quota systems. And
the moment you put your children in school, they become wards of the state, and you lose control over your children. That was ruled by the Supreme Court. Yes.
Yeah, and I see the...
When you entrust them to the care of the state, you are making them wards of the state.
Wow.
That's a Supreme Court ruling. You lose all control over your children if you put them in a public school.
Hmm. Well, I've been, you know, I've done some contract work around some of the public schools here in Houston, and it's amazing to see how degenerate the kids have become just from the experience that they are put in. You know, they have been marginalized to the lowest denominator. You know, they dress like animals, they behave like animals, they eat worse than animals. They're not even polite to themselves.
No, much less anybody else.
Yeah. And it's a pathetic situation. I mean, they have created the Frankenstein.
When I was a boy, if you were rude to an adult, any adult,
yeah,
you got the living, you know what?
They used to whoop my ass on a regular basis. You know, and I'm not psychologically damaged because of it.
No, some people carry things to the extreme. There were some people who beat their children, and that's wrong.
That's wrong, and that's abuse. But there is a difference between abuse and corporal punishment, you know, getting your butt whipped when you get out of line, and especially with young males.
Well, you get smacked a couple of times hard by adults, whether they're your parents or not, and you learn to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, please, and thank you real quick. But I got to let you go. We got to get some more people in here.
Hey, thanks for having me on this long to talk.
Well, thanks for calling.
good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Steve from Fort Myers.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. You know, I was just thinking about your cars. Did you sell your cars yet, by any chance?
No.
The automobiles for sale?
No.
You haven't sold them. Well, you can use as an advertising thought that they're Y2K compliant.
Well, they are, and that's...
And the computers on them, you know.
That's one of the reasons I took them off the internet. I really don't want to sell them. Never did want to sell them. I was trying to fund the television project because we weren't getting the donations.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're off the website now.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, anyways, I just wanted to also say I just took a long trip up north, and I'm back down here. And I couldn't hear you when I was up there because that was too close to Maine. But I could hear WWCR, who I never usually listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And all they talk about, all they're talking about right now, or have been, is Y2K this, Y2K that.
Sure.
You hear about
it. You got to whip up the hysteria. You got to get the panic going.
Right.
You got to make sure that the whole society falls apart.
Yeah, and what was interesting, what I noticed was, even more so than just the panic aspect of it, was that it kind of goes something like this with them. Oh, well, we have a quote-unquote expert here to say that the water supply is going to be tainted, and oh my gosh, we have this person here who just happens to sell water filters.
Yeah.
It's like there seems to be a lot of marketing going on, too.
Oh, it is. Some people are getting rich off this.
Right, yeah.
I mean, really rich.
So, anyways, it was interesting to listen to all that. But, I mean, do you think that's another major proponent or reason why the Y2K is being pushed so hard from Arbel? And
yeah, well, number one, it's going to provide the means by which they can declare martial law and bring about the world that they want. And number two, it makes a lot of people rich.
Just follow the money, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was wondering what your opinion was on that. So thanks a lot, and I guess I'll say hello to Art Bell, because I know he's listening, probably.
I'll say this again. You would be absolutely amazed to find out who listens to this broadcast.
You're probably right. I probably would be. Very amazed. So, okay, Bill, I'll let you go.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. How did President Clinton know I was the most dangerous radio host in America if somebody in the White House wasn't listening to this broadcast and still listening to this broadcast? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, that doesn't hold any weight here.
I know. I was in reference to the nuclear power plant shutdowns you were talking about.
Yeah.
I was skiing. I'm up in the New Hampshire area, and I met a man who worked in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
Something to do with nuclear submarines or something. I wasn't paying that close attention until he told me that he was taking another job. He had just got out. He did a six-year stint, and he was going to be decommissioning the Seabrook nuclear power plant in July.
Oh, decommissioning it.
Well, shutting it down.
No. That's decommissioning has a whole different meaning. Decommissioning is not shutting down. Decommissioning is taking completely out of service forever.
Yeah. Well, maybe he did say that now that I'm thinking about it. He might have said that. Maybe he did say decommission. I'm not really sure now.
Yeah, if he said decommission, that's being taken out of service completely.
Yeah.
Not just shut down.
And but when you talked about...
See, when something's decommissioned in the Navy, it's not started up again.
I'm sorry, what?
When something is decommissioned in the Navy,
it's
not started up again.
Oh, okay.
It's out of service.
Well, maybe he was using that vernacular because he was in the Navy.
No, because in the Navy he wouldn't have used it unless he meant it in the definition of the term.
Uh-huh. Okay.
See, in the Navy you don't call a bulkhead a wall. You go on board a ship and call it a wall, or call the ladder stairs, and, you know, people start laughing at you. You know what I mean? So if he said decommissioned, that's exactly what he meant.
Now, I was interested to know more about what you were saying about mobilizing the National Guard on May 1st. Do you have more information about that, or did...
Yeah, it's all over the place. Call the National Guard and ask them about it. They'll tell you.
Well, I live right down the street from one.
Just walk. Yeah, you can. Just walk down there and ask them. Yeah. Say, I heard you guys be mobilizing on May 1st. What's going on?
Yeah, okay.
They'll tell you.
Yeah, pretty good.
They're just guys like you, only they got a uniform on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks in the summer. Well, let's somebody else get in then.
All righty then.
Take care. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. And good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill.
I need
Bill
you.
Down in Florida.
I need you to talk a lot louder.
Yeah, this is Phil down in Florida.
Hi, Phil.
Listen, I've heard your program the last couple of nights, and it's been coming in good.
Well, great.
Tonight it's a little bit crackly because of interference.
Yeah, I need you to talk louder and keep your voice up.
Okay. What I called you about was the audio book, Behold the Pale Horse.
Yeah.
Is that still available?
Yeah, $15 postpaid.
Okay, now I got the day one book autographed. And right after that, you went off of WWCR, and I don't know what in the heck is out.
Well, send us a self-addressed, large manila envelope with 77 cents on it, and stamps, and $1, and we'll send you a list of everything we got.
Yeah, okay. How many
but,
more?
But you better do it quick, because the sale started on the 15th, and it ends on the 15th of next month.
Michelle.
Oh, we got plenty of those. How many you want? 4,000?
How many different volumes? I got number one.
No, that's the only volume that's ever going to be.
Oh, you didn't get a day two or anything?
No. Why would we print another book that nobody buys?
Uh-oh. I'm sorry to hear that. Okay.
We got burned royally.
That's too
bad. We ate it. It should have. It absolutely should have.
Yeah.
But it scares the living hell out of everybody. If they read this book, they're going to know the truth, and they don't want to know the truth.
That's the truth. Yeah, that's the truth. They just don't want to know. I can't get anybody around here to listen to me.
Well, they'll listen.
Eat anything or even watch videos, you know.
They'll listen when it's too late. When they see it come tumbling down, that's when they'll listen, but that's when it'll be too late for them.
Yeah, they've dug a mighty hole for themselves to try to climb out of it.
They sure have, and at this stage of the game, I don't think they can climb out. I think this country's history, I think they are going to have a new world order. I think smart Americans will get out of this country real fast because this is the heart and soul of it. When the Ayatollah Khomeini called this the great Satan, he wasn't kidding. He knew something.
Right. And it's still right today, and it'll be right until the day we're taken over.
Sure.
And I agree with you. We're finished. I don't see any way out of it. There's not enough people that care even.
Well, yeah, you got it. You hit it right on the nose.
They've been absolutely brainwashed. Absolutely.
That's true.
Well, okay, Bill. Good luck. Thanks. I'll let somebody else get on.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Mitch from Mississippi.
I need you to talk louder, Mitch.
Okay, I'm talking louder. Is that any better?
That's a little better.
Okay, I was watching TV about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I saw a program called Millennium.
Uh-huh.
Guess who was guest starring on that program?
Who?
Your partner, Art Bell.
Oh, good old Art.
And guess what he was wearing?
What was he wearing?
T-shirt with a white skull and crossbones on it.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I was just amazed by that because I wouldn't have noticed it except for the...
Remember, they speak in symbols.
That's right.
And while he may call it a joke, it's not a joke at all.
That
is, in fact, the symbol of the Knights Templar.
He was telling everybody that knew anything about
Yeah, that's right.
I just wanted to tell you that and let you know that, and all your listeners know that he's definitely into the symbolism and so forth.
Oh, yes, he is. He is one of them. I've told you that. I've proven it. It's on the website. Anybody that reads the Art Bell webpage on our website and doesn't come away with a different understanding of that man isn't using any brains. I mean, I just spelled it out there so clearly that even a child can understand it.
Yeah. Do you ever watch those programs like X-Files and Millennium?
I don't watch X-Files once in a while because it doesn't tell you anything. I can really be entertained by X-Files. I don't watch Millennium or Babylon 5 or Stargate or any of those things that are just full of malarkey. But I like X-Files. It's entertaining. It's about a mystery that can't be solved, or at least can't be solved with people who don't have the right clues to begin with, and none of those people do. Just because someone's in the FBI doesn't mean they know how to use their brain.
Right.
I discovered that right here in the White Mountains. The local FBI agent came to see me, and I was wearing a Springfield Armory 45 compact comp. And he looked at it, and he says, "Is that a SIG?" The SIG is the standard issue for the FBI.
Right.
So he didn't even know his own gun. I couldn't believe it. So here's this guy, you know, never mind. Don't get me started.
Okay, Bill, I just wanted to tell you that and wish you luck on your new program. I'm going to try to send you something as soon as I possibly can. So.
Okay.
That programming will be on satellite, direct satellite, or be on...
It'll be on our local station here, and it will be on videotape that will be available to those who want to play it on your local cable access channel in your area.
Oh, cool.
And if it works, and eventually it's successful, and we get enough money, then we'll be on satellite somewhere.
If we're still around in the next 6 or 8 months.
If we're still around.
Okay, bud, good luck. Thanks a lot for all your information.
Thank you. You know, even if I knew that we weren't going to be around in 2 weeks, I'd still be doing this because I have to do something. I have to do the best that I can. I can't do like most people and just sit on my butt and watch television. I can't. I know what's coming, and I have to do everything that I possibly can to prepare as many people as I possibly can. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling here from St. Louis. Did I hear you say that we should leave the United States?
If you're smart, I would get out of this country before all of this stuff comes down.
Well,
I can't put it any plainer than that.
What's the angle with all the patriotism then, sir? I just don't... It's kind of a double message here. You know, fight for your freedom.
No. Patriotism isn't my country right or wrong. It's not fighting for a geographic area.
Okay.
It's fighting for principles and ideals. That's what real patriots fight for.
All righty. That clears that up. Now, where do people like that who have that mindset go? Canada is New World Order. They're socialistic. England, they took all their guns away. I mean, it sounds like we'd have to leave the planet.
Almost any place on this earth is going to be better for American patriots than this country will be. They will hunt you down like a dog.
Right. I believe that. I really believe that'll be the hot. This will be the hot zone. I understand that also. Okay, good. Now, I want to revisit a thing a little earlier, but a conversation you and another gentleman just had about revelations.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying the state of Israel when it was came to be in what was 1948?
Yeah.
Now, the Book of Revelations. They purposely did that. In other words, are these New Worlders, these elitists, are they following the Bible?
They're using the Book of Revelations.
They're reacting it.
Yeah. In order to fool people into believing that the New World Order is being brought about by the hand of God, so they will not resist. After all, who can go against the hand of God? Who can go against fate? Even if you don't believe in the Bible, if Nostradamus said that this is going to happen, how can you possibly stop it?
Oh, I know,
No, see,
doesn't need a UFO machine, and God doesn't need God is spirit.
They're manipulating people because they believe in prophecy.
Right. I see that very clearly, and the part that I'm trying to understand, I guess, it's kind of hard to put in words. Is I don't know. I want to say, how do you stop a snowball going to hell? But you know, okay. Here's a good one. Here's a real simple one. How does the common Joe uproot, leave the country, go into a foreign country? You know what I'm saying?
The quickest and the best way that you can.
Uh huh.
Of course, if you're married to material things and possessions,
yeah,
you won't be able to do that. You're already enslaved.
Hey, my life and everything means more than that. That's the main thing, dear.
Uh-oh. We lost him. He must have been on a cell phone or something. Must have gone in a tunnel. 520-333-4578 is the number. Whatever it was, it zapped him. Good evening. You're on the air. Yeah, I recognize your voice. Can you talk a lot louder, Steve? Put the mouthpiece right in front of your mouth and...
I can. Sorry about that. I'd like to ask you a question. What do you think about the what happened to Flight 19? It's kind of off the wall, but I was curious about it. Do you have any thoughts on that thing?
Flight 19?
Yeah, you
heard. Are you talking about that flight of Avengers?
That's right, yeah.
I think they crashed in the ocean somewhere.
Oh, you don't think there's anything more mysterious about it than that?
No.
Okay.
My father was a pilot. All my life, I lived on bases where planes didn't come back.
Oh, so
planes crashed, especially back then. Planes crashed.
And
if they got lost and were flying in the wrong direction and ran out of fuel, there's only one consequence of that. They fall in the ocean. I need you to talk louder. I barely hear you. Well, let me ask you something. Would you buy a used car from Stanton T. Friedman?
I absolutely would not.
Why would you buy a flying saucer?
He's always on the car to show.
Yeah, but if you wouldn't buy a used car from him, why would you buy a flying saucer?
You got a point. You're absolutely right. I should take care now.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, you take one look at Stanton T. Friedman, and I wouldn't even go near a used car lot if he was working there. No way, not in a million years. Good evening, you're on the air.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good. I need you to talk louder, too.
Okay, this is Phil from Omaha.
Hi, Phil.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
In your book, Behold the Pale Horse, it talks about the Mariner space probe or whatever going into Jupiter and igniting some nuclear...
It's the Galileo.
Okay, Galileo.
Yeah.
What, 43 pounds of plutonium or whatever?
Well, that's what they want it to do, but nobody knows if it will really do that or not.
When is that supposed to happen?
December of 1999.
Okay. Now, when do you think...
According to NASA, now they're telling us there's something wrong with the spacecraft and they can't control it anymore.
Which would explain why it would crash into Jupiter.
Well, it would anyway, because after it photographs the last moon, which is Io, closest to the surface of Jupiter, it goes into low orbit, which is just a continually decaying orbit, so eventually it's going to plunge into Jupiter anyway.
All right, question for you.
Mm-hmm.
When do you think we'll have martial law?
Well, if people panic and go off the deep end over this Y2K thing, it'll happen toward the last quarter of this year.
Well, you know they're going to panic.
Well, I don't know that yet. I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't see into the future. I can make predictions of what might happen based upon what I see today, and what might happen is they might panic. There might be a run on the banks. There might be all kinds of things happen, but it doesn't have to happen.
Well, if people would prepare for any disruptions judiciously, it wouldn't be a problem, but you got a bunch of sheeple out there.
Sure, all they prepare for is their date on Saturday night.
Well, or which football game they're going to watch. Or
yeah.
This time of year.
Yeah, I got a great song here somewhere. It's called All My Rowdy Friends Are Coming Over for Monday Night Football or something like that.
But you see, people are free if they've got they've got all...
Your voice is falling down again. I need you to keep that level up or nobody can hear you.
Okay,
different brands of beer. They can choose whatever sitcom they want to watch. They've got all these Final Four games to watch, and they're off and have their little office pools. And in the meantime, freedom seems to be disappearing.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
So I figure, here's what I want.
Freedom, I don't even think freedom will be in the dictionary in the New World Order.
Well,
I don't think you'll find that word in the dictionary.
Bill Clinton's got his card in hand, right? I want him to show his cards, and I want him to show his cards right now.
Good luck.
That's what I'd like. And I welcome Bill Clinton to do it. I say, go ahead, Billy. Bring it on.
Good luck.
And, these people that are sitting on the sidelines waiting for Jesus to come back, as far as I'm concerned, and probably, well, biblically also, they will get their feet held to the fire for this by Almighty God himself.
Well, I happen to believe that that's probably true. I don't think God or Jesus would be happy with people who would stand by and let evil take its course without standing up and fighting it for the side of good.
Well, Jesus went into the temple and turned over the tables.
Yeah, he sure did. And he was supposed to be a pacifist, wasn't he?
Yeah, right.
Do you know anybody who would have money tables set up, who would allow some rowdy dude to come along and throw all their money on the floor and turn over their tables and chase them out of a room?
No, not really.
That must have been one hell of a brawl, and he won, which means he must have been one tough dude.
And here's another thing.
He kicked butt, and he had to use his fists and his feet, and he probably bit a few people in the process.
He told his disciples to take the message to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay?
Yeah.
They did that. They did exactly what they were told. Secondly, this little scam that they have called Render Under Caesar, What is Caesar's?
Uh-huh.
Well, why did the disciples, why were they persecuted? Why did they go to jail if they were rendering under Caesar what was Caesar's?
They were politically incorrect. Just like today. Yeah, they were. Yes, they were. They paid their taxes.
Well, but they weren't doing whatever Caesar wanted.
They obeyed the law. What they did that Caesar didn't like was open their mouth and challenge.
And they got him in jail.
Yeah, they were politically incorrect.
So they didn't render respect unto Caesar that was due Caesar, did they?
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe they did. Maybe that's exactly what was due Caesar. Maybe Caesar was a big liar. And you don't render respect to liars, do you?
Not really, but you go to jail.
Same thing's happening today. So what? You're good company. Some of the greatest men and women who've ever lived on the face of this earth went to jail. So what?
Well, what I'm saying is, they did not obey the government.
Yes, they did. They obeyed the law. They did. You show me one instance where any of them broke the law, ever.
Well, why'd they go to jail if they didn't break the law?
They were politically incorrect.
Well,
When Pontius Pilate was trying Jesus, what did he say? He says, I can find no fault with this man. Didn't he?
Yes.
His crimes were of a political nature. He was saying things nobody wanted him to say. Nothing wrong with asking questions, is there?
With what question?
Of any question. See, a lot of people think that Jesus went in the temple and preached. He didn't. All he did was go in and sit down and ask questions. He asked questions. The questions were embarrassing to these people because if they answered them truthfully, they would have exposed themselves as hypocrites and liars.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Pharisees and the Sadducees and so forth, they must have had some sort of symbiotic relationship with Caesar.
Well, they did.
What was it?
Jerusalem was the only conquered country under the Roman Empire that was allowed to rule itself.
Why? Because they were...
Because they made agreements with Rome not to cause any problems.
Were they financing Rome?
Absolutely were financing Rome. The Jews have always been the merchants of the world.
Where's Prince Charles fall into this baby currently?
How would I know? That's a problem for the English. I got enough problem here with what we got.
Well, it's going to get very interesting relatively quick.
Yes, you are absolutely right, my friend. It's going to get unbelievably interesting really quick.
I say bring it on because we deserve every bit of it as a country. We do.
Well, you may be right as a country. There's a lot of people in this country who don't deserve it, but...
For
the most part, they do. They're going to get what they deserve, unfortunately.
95% of the people deserve exactly what's coming down the pipe.
Well, I think you're right. Hello, Doyle.
Hello.
Doyle just got off work. Cable man, cable guy is home, so you're all safe now.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. And we're taking your calls tonight until the end of the broadcast. I bet we've made a lot of people angry tonight just by telling the truth. You see what the truth can do? I mean, it can really stir up a hornet's nest. It can cause people to go off the deep end. That woman was almost raving at me. Good evening. You're on the air. Hi, Crusher.
Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Jim from Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
I'm a recent listener of yours. I've been to your website. I'm not a religious guy. I'm a retired cop. I spent 25 years in law enforcement.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very concerned about this upcoming problem. And I think anybody who takes an oath to uphold the Constitution and defend and protect people has to be worried about the potential this thing has. You know, you stop me and think back even back in Germany. Many of those guys were cops back in the early 30s.
Sure.
Their intentions were good. They were to protect and serve people, to help them. It was only by a process of gradualism that they eventually turned out to be putting people in camps, etc.
That's true.
Was that?
I said that's true.
It wasn't something that happened overnight. And, you know, I posed this question to some of the guys I worked with a few years back because I could see some of these things on the horizon. And you know, I said to them, I said, you know, you guys, you know, it's a gradual kind of thing. I mean, for many years we enforced that double nickel 55 rule, which, you know, all of a sudden after, you know, 20-some years, they say, never mind, it was all a joke. I said, I can't imagine how many guys ended up getting ticks to some poor slob on his way home from work, cost him a week's pay. I said, we didn't like doing it, but we did it because if you didn't do it, it was your job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a process of gradualism and one step at a time.
Yeah.
Now, excuse me, I'm a little bit nervous here. So
it's okay, you're amongst friends.
Well, okay, all right. Well, you know, this kind of thing, you know, bothers the heck out of me, but by the same token, you know, I've been talking to people, and especially people within my old department, about these upcoming crops, and nobody seems to want to be, don't listen to or hear anything about it. They don't want to take it seriously. They don't want to, you know, give thought to what could possibly be, you know, be transpiring. And you know something, I'm feeling very ambivalent about this. On the one hand, you try to warn people about what's going to be coming, and they just don't want to hear it.
That's okay. I'm doing what I'm expected to do as a good, decent, God-fearing human being, and the only judgment that I care about is God's judgment when I get to those pearly gates, so to speak. I don't really believe that there's any pearly gates, but I do believe I'm going to have to answer for what I did on this earth. And I want to be judged well.
Well, I have to tell you, Bill, I've been listening to you, and I'm not even sure I agree with everything you said. I really don't know what to believe anymore. But
it's not a requirement that you believe everything I say. In fact,
I
tell you on almost a nightly basis, don't you dare believe what I say unless you can go out and prove it in your own research.
Well, I'll tell you what I do believe is that it's actually the first night I've listened to you for any length of time. Is that I believe what you're saying is what you believe. You know, I believe you're telling your truth, and that I think is number one. You know, I think you're not lying. You're talking from the heart. But what bothers me about people, with this upcoming crowd coming, I think it's going to be broken down into three groups of people. there's going to be the sheeple, as I've heard you talk about. There's going to be the people, a small minority of those who know they're sheeple but are among them, and then there's going to be the masters over everybody.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's almost like I feel I switch from day to day. On the one hand, I say, hell, I'm part of these people, you know, but they don't want to hear anything. And the next day I say, well, hell, on the other hand, why should I be one of the people who subjugate them? I'll be honest with you, that's the way sometimes you feel, because people are so damn stupid.
They will make you feel that way. I felt the same thing. I have gone out and sat down on a rock and just cried over it at times. And
I'll give you an example. Maybe some a lot of people understand. There's a movie, I'm sure, that's about everybody's seen, you know, back in my teens and so on. The Magnificent Seven. You familiar with it?
Sure. It's based upon the old Seven Samurai, Japanese story. Yeah.
Exactly. Good movie. Well, there's a scene in there where you're familiar with the role of Yul Brynner, who's the leader of the Magnificent Seven. He's defending the peasants who were unable to defend themselves or wouldn't defend themselves. So they had to go hire these hired guns.
Sure.
Well, they have a pitched battle, and then afterwards, there's a parley between Yul Brynner and the head of the bandits, who's played by Eli Wallach. And I'll never forget the line that Eli Wallach said to him. He looks at him, he says, let me ask you something. He says, why are you defending these people? And he gave some explanation. He said, well, look, he says, if God didn't mean them to be sheared, he wouldn't have made them sheep.
Ah, but he didn't.
You know, well.
He didn't. See, only someone who can believe in predestination could believe that.
Yeah.
We have free will choice to be whatever we wish to be, and it is us who make us what we are, not God.
Yeah.
God gives us the opportunity to prove ourselves here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us fail.
Well, I'll tell you, as far as my own concern about this wide of cape is, I started picking up on it about a year ago. To open my eyes, and I don't know whether it's, I didn't believe it was a hoax. I still don't believe it a hoax.
Oh, it's not a hoax. There really is a Y2K problem. It's just not the problem that they're whipping it up to be, and there's no reason for anybody to get hysterical or panic. There's no reason for a run on the banks, and the world is not going to end.
Well, you know, I agree. It's not going to end, but you know something? I don't believe the world's going to end either, but we had World War II. 20 million people died.
Yeah.
And it ended for those people.
Yeah. Well, I'm not so sure about that. See,
well,
the way I believe, I don't think it ended there.
I don't believe it's the end of the world either, but it's going to be the end of the world for some people, or definitely the end of the world as they know it.
Yeah, that's a better term. The end of the world as we know it.
End of the world as we know it.
Is going to occur.
And people just don't want to even give what you call cognitive dissonance, instead of, they just don't want to even give it any kind of thought.
No.
Possibly happen.
No.
I said to some of these guys, I read the thing back in the Ottawa paper on the net back in October about how in Canada, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the provincial and local police are putting guys on alert December 15th, and they're canceling leaves. They were even considering compounding families, dependents, to enable guys in law enforcement and the military to show up for work. Because what they found out happened last winter during the ice storm was, well, guys weren't coming in. And I said this on my own friends, let me ask you something, where are you going to be? I said, if the lights did go out, you're sitting in the dark, I said, you're going to show up for work and be home with your wife and kids. Well, I'm going to be home. I said, what are you going to do for it? You going to do anything to protect yourself? They don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I'll tell you, I hope, a guy like you keep it up, and I hope there's more people that are willing to stand up, that's all.
Well, thank you. And thank you for calling. And you keep struggling with that. I think you'll find the right answer, and you won't need anybody else to tell you.
Well, I'll tell you this much, Bill, and I appreciate the time you've given me to talk about this. One thing I do feel good about as far as this white tape business goes, I do know there are other people out there that are secretly doing their own thing and making their own preparations. And I'll say this much, that everybody, I'm not a religious guy, but I think I'm enough of a Christian left over to tell people that I think they should be doing something to prepare now so they don't panic later.
Yeah.
Making me a target, because I don't know how many people say, well, I know where I'm going to be when, when things happen. I said, my lifeboat's going to be pretty filled, my friend. I said, you better be making your own plans.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think maybe we've got room for one more call. It'll have to be a quick one, but I think we got room for one more call. And make it a 1 or 2 minute one. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill. Richard from California.
Hi, Richard.
Are you familiar with the book The Art of son, Sue.
Yes.
Yes. Do you believe that book has any validity?
Absolutely.
One of the main tenets of warfare is deception. Do you think that maybe all of these military operations and things that they're doing are to shore up their own insecurity and maybe to scare us into thinking they're more powerful than what they really are?
Well, there's two things that deception could do. It can manipulate people to behave in a certain manner, which can produce a desired result, or it can give people courage, much more than what they probably would have if they knew the truth, and it can cause your enemy to behave in a way in which he can be defeated. The art of Sun Tzu is one of the primary texts in every war college, in every military service, in every country in the world.
Gather, and I have to thank you so much, because I never would have came to the realizations on who the enemy actually is without your mystery series and without your other things. And my next question is, can I still buy all of that?
Oh, yes, you can. It's on sale right now. If you want the whole, are you a member or a non-member?
Non-member.
Non-member, the normal price is $290 for the whole set. Right now it's on sale for $174.
All right, and I'll just mail it to your Harvest address.
Yeah, make sure that you put it in the right form. We only take blank money orders, cash, gold, or silver coin.
Very well. Bless your heart. Now, did you say something about going off the shortwave?
Going off the shortwave?
Yeah.
No. Art Bell wishes I would go off the shortwave. But I'm not going anywhere.
I wish Art Bell would stop screwing up all the AM airwaves all night long.
Well, that's what he does.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good night. And that's it, folks. Dora, would you like to say good night?
Good evening, everybody.
That's his good night.
That's my good night.
Good night, folks, and God bless each and every single one of you. You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM is your community service nonprofit radio station.